Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In 2 Peter chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters since I was a teen. The reason is because it tells us what's coming, and it tells us what we need to do in light of what's coming. When Mrs. Wood and I walked into the gallery area this morning to come up to the chapel, I noticed several boxes on one of the tables that had very nice-looking logs, very interesting, pretty wood, and kind of just, I wondered what it was for, so I asked. And they said, "Oh, that's decoration for the banquet. There's going to be a banquet. And that wood is in place to be used to decorate for a banquet to celebrate the end of this camp season." Isn't that nice? Now, if you were to come up to my house and visit in my living room, you might look inside the wood stove, which is made of metal, of course, and you would see a bunch of logs neatly placed. And if you said to me, "Oh, are you about to have a banquet?" I would say, "No, that is in place so that the next time we want to have a fire, all we have to do is light that, and it is ready to go." Okay? Why is that there? Is it something that is just going to be burned up, or is it something that's going to be for a banquet? As people who have God's word, we need to know that both are coming. There's going to be a fire that destroys the present heavens and earth. And there's going to be a banquet for God's people. Now, I don't want you to miss the banquet that God has prepared for those who love him, because the alternative is eternal fire. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on just as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You and I are being told ahead of time what's going to happen. We've been told ahead of time so that it doesn't have to just catch us blindsided, so that we don't have to panic. If you are trusting in the Lord, then you know that God is in control. He's not just predicting what is likely to happen. He has decreed what is going to happen. And God has promised destruction and redemption. God has promised that evil is going to be destroyed. Now, Peter says, you already know this, but I want to remind you of that which was promised by the holy prophets. I'm going to give you one example of that from Isaiah chapter 24. This is God's word. See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for master as for servant, for mistress as for maid, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The exalted of the earth languish. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up. Very few are left. The new wine dries up and the vine withers, all the merrymakers groan, the gaiety of the tambourines is stilled, the noise of the revelers has stopped, the joyful harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to its drinkers. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. All gaiety is banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gate is battered to pieces. So it will be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. They raise their voices. They shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. But I said, I waste away. I waste away. Woe to me. The treacherous betray. With treachery the treacherous betray. Terror and pit and snare await you, O people of the earth. Whoever flees at the sound of terror will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. the earth is thoroughly shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be abashed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders gloriously. Hebrews chapter 12. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, this is beginning in verse 14 of Hebrews 12. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Since, therefore, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Do you hear what God says? In the Old Testament, it was prophesied, not only in Isaiah, but elsewhere, of what was coming at the end of the age, what would finally happen. If you think this world is what it's all about, the stuff of creation, you are sadly mistaken. God says, all of this is going to be burned up in the fire. All of it. So if this is your idol, if this is what you long for, if this is what your life is all about, the stuff of this earth, you are chasing after the wind. You will never find satisfaction, and you will miss that which God is offering to all who trust in him. All of us in this life will experience loss. And when it happens, we can be devastated or we can realize that we are being weaned. God is teaching us that he has other things for us. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 years. But I do know that everything is set for for a fire. I do know that all around the earth right now, people are wondering what is going on. Unprecedented flooding. Weather changes where this area is the hottest on record, and this area was the coldest on record. And fires, the whole nation. Did you notice the air quality yesterday? There was a burn ban in Knoxville because of all the smoke blowing from the West Coast. It blew up into the Northeast, but it touched Tennessee on the way through. The valiant firefighters are trying to control it, but guess what? The whole planet's going to burn. Illnesses, it's not just COVID-19. Illnesses are springing up that are puzzling doctors, and people are saying, what are we going to do? What happens if there's another virus? Not just a variant. If your security is in the medical profession, you're a bozo. The CDC can't get their own story straight. And the politicians want to tell us, follow the science. Well, I wish they would. Folks, I'm telling you, if your security is in government or business or in yourself, you're very, very foolish. Very, very foolish. But if your security is in the creator of the universe, who has loved his children with an everlasting love, then whatever comes, you might say, wow, I didn't see that coming, but I know somebody who did. God is in control, and his children don't have to be afraid. Well, but there's still smoke in the air. Yeah, but let me tell you, that's nothing compared to what's coming. Well, Pastor Wood, I did a Bible study one time, and I was taught that we're going to get out of here before it gets real bad. I can draw you a chart. I can tell you, yes, if you interpret the scriptures this way, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. You know, those charts don't sell well in mainland China right now. You know why? Because those people are already undergoing persecution. Churches being bulldozed, homes and apartments being invaded, Christians being arrested for being Christian. Well, that's dreadful. Well, it's happening in India too. The government isn't doing it. The government is simply encouraging it. And the Hindu nationalists are doing it. Wow. So stay out of South Asia and East Asia and, oh, well, it's happening in Africa. Really? Yeah. Horrible persecution of Christians by Muslims, mostly. Wow. Well, our allies, like Saudi Arabia, have been persecuting Christians for a long time. And now our ally, supposedly, Turkey, has been moving in that direction also. Really? Yeah, and of course, places like Iran. Well, this really sounds kind of grim, Pastor. Oh, well, did I mention that in the Western Hemisphere, in certain parts of South America, and much of North America, that Christians are not being allowed to simply do what God says? That pastors in Canada, of all places, have been arrested, not just for violating COVID regulations, but for preaching the scriptures concerning certain sins, where if you say, God says that's a sin, that's considered hate speech, violates our laws, you're going to jail, Reverend. Really? Yeah. Well, thank God I live right here in the USA. Well, let me tell you, we are a very divided country. And there's persecution going on here in this country as well. Now, what we're experiencing is not nearly as severe as what our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are experiencing. But my point is this. God said that we should expect persecution. Not be shocked by it. How can they do that? Well, they are wicked. They hate God. And this is exactly what God said we should anticipate happening. Wow. That's what Jesus said. They're going to treat you the way they treated me. Well, he ended up with his arms stretched out. So Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Pastor Wood, you are not making this very inviting. Well, I would rather have a hard time on the way to a banquet than have an easier time on the way to a furnace. You understand? And by the way, in the long run, even the pagans find life difficult. So, what should we do? I'm so glad you asked. Let me review. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, 2 Peter 3:11, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be living for Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what the writer to the Hebrews said in the passage we read there. You need to be living holy lives. Absolutely no sexual immorality, no greed, focused on doing the will of God. That's what we need to be doing. Well, that sort of cuts out some of the things I had planned. Well, good. Well, that means I'm going to have to do some stuff I wasn't really anticipating. Well, I'm glad you got the point. All of us are in a process of being refined by God. And you are either cooperating or you're going to make it more painful for yourself. I love what Jesus said in John's gospel. If you abide in me, Jesus said, you're going to produce fruit that will last for eternity. If you don't abide in me, you can't produce good fruit and you're going to get cut off and thrown in the fire. Well, then I definitely want to abide in Christ and produce good fruit. Jesus says, that's great. Those who produce fruit will get pruned so that they may produce more fruit. Pruned, is that like when old people throw fruit at each other? No. It involves cutting. Cutting away branches that bore fruit? Yeah, so that new branches springing out with fresh life might produce more fruit. God knows what he's doing. Don't be afraid of the gardener. Don't be afraid of the Lord. Trust him to know what is best and do what is best. He has good things in store for those who are his. I hope you're going to the banquet, not the fire.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.